Every single one of us have a God-given destiny in Christ Jesus. We are all created with a purpose. No matter you're sitting here, you know, whether your role in this world, you are an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher, pastor, leader, businessman, housewife. No matter what you are and no matter how diversified our calling is, we are all created for the purpose to build God's house. Can I hear an amen, please? And when I say God's house, I'm not talking about the church. All right, I'm not talking about the four walls of the church. There's nothing special about the four walls of the church. There's nothing special about the infrastructure and the architecture of this church. Until, everybody say until. Until you and I, church, come together into this place and make this place a place of worship. Then it becomes a place of gathering. Then it becomes a place of God's house. And that is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9 it says, "For we are God's fellow workers." We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "You are God's building." Yep, you are God's building. Some of you are tall and strong, you know, you look exactly like a building. You know, you are, yeah, let's interact, church. This morning is an interacting morning, okay? So I don't want any one of you to fall asleep so that we can talk together because it's a very cold and very nice weather for us to actually fall asleep, okay? So let's interact this morning. You are God's building. You are God's building. And I'm not just referring to Calvary City Church, Jalan Mambudia. I'm not just talking about the church. When we are called to build the house of God, it's not just the church, but we are called to build the kingdom of God. That's why today I entitled my message, "You are a kingdom builder." You are a kingdom builder. You're not just called for a purpose such as this to come to church and worship the Lord and hear the word of God and go back home and live your ordinary life. No. Every single one of us have a God-given destiny and a purpose. We are all created for a purpose. And no matter how diversified our calling and our positions in the world, we are called to build the kingdom of God. We are called to build the kingdom of God. When Jesus, let's look at the life of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect role model. He's the best example that we can look at. When we look at the life of Jesus, one of his main priority, one of Jesus' main focus was to talk about the kingdom of God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Can we have it on the screen? It says that from that time, if it's not on the screen, you can hear me. Yep. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The moment when Jesus started his ministry, this is one of his primary focus. More than just preaching about the good news, more than just talking about all the other signs, miracles, and wonders, Jesus emphasized on the kingdom of God. And when we look at the disciples of Jesus, after being commissioned by God, after being commissioned by Jesus, Jesus said the same thing to the 12 disciples. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. It says, "And as you go, preach," saying, three keywords, "go, preach," saying, "the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You're not just sent out, church. You're not just called to go out. You're not just called to preach any word. You're not just called to talk about the good news. But God gives such a specific instruction even to the 12 disciples that as they go, as they preach, they have to say, "the kingdom of heaven," or "the kingdom of God, it's at hand." And one of my most famous or favorite scripture, I believe some of you here is also your favorite scripture, it's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." It talks about the kingdom of God once again. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all things," everybody say "all things will be added unto you." How many of you know that when you put God first, God will put you first? When you build God's house, God will build your house. How many of you know that when you take care of God's business, He will take care of your business, my friend? And this morning, I want to encourage you. That is why when Jesus mentioned about building the kingdom of God, talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus spent so much time emphasizing on the kingdom of God because it plays such an important role as a believer, as disciples of Christ, that we come together to build His kingdom. We need to come together to build His kingdom. That was His primary focus. And all the more, if Jesus is putting His focus there, all the more that we need to do that. All the more we need to put our focus, we need to put our strength, we need to put our effort into building the kingdom of God. And here's the best part I love about building the kingdom of God. In all the splendor and the majesty and the gloriousness of our King, He decided to choose you and I. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you and I. You and I. God chose you and I, that's right, Samji, to partner together with Him to build the kingdom of God. And I love it so much because you know what? He wants us to be part of the process. He doesn't just want us to enter into a perfect world, into a perfect realm, but He wants us as a part of the process in building the kingdom of God. That's why He calls us as co-heirs with Christ. Come on, let's look at the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 to 17. Don't believe what I say. Believe what the Word of God says. He says, the Spirit Himself, look, it is God, Him Spirit Himself, bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Then heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. And if did, we suffer with Him that we may also be glorified together. And I want all of us to pay attention to this last part that we say, that it says that if we indeed suffer with Him, we will glorify with Him. And the key word here is together. Together. Everybody say together. God loves partnering together with us, working together, serving together, hand in hand, is God's idea. That is God's idea of partnership. I know some of us here, we may not really like sometimes to work together with somebody because we sometimes, you know, in your workplace or even, you know, assignment, you know, as a student, as a university student, you know, when you do your assignment and then you are doing a group project and the fella is slowing you down and you feel like throwing stone on the fella. Or even in the company as well, you feel like, alama, if I without this person, I could fly and I could have launched into better and greater heights. But can I tell you something? Sometimes it's so important for us to get alongside with people that have the same mindset together with us to do the things that we are supposed to do. Because when we get like-minded people together to go on this journey together, let me tell you something. This is why in your company, in your workplace, or probably you have heard this before, teamwork makes the dream work. Amen. Teamwork makes the dream work. When I was working in Singapore, I was working in this company that do OD. OD means organization development. And therefore, we always talk about teamwork. We always share about teamwork. And more than this, if we need teamwork in the earthly realm, what more in building the kingdom of God? What more working together, serving together in building the kingdom of God? God loves partnering with us. Working together, serving together is God's idea. In fact, it started even in the beginning. Or for all the young people here, in the beginning. Okay, in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 19. All right, can we have it on the screen? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 19. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam. God created every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought it to Adam and to see what he would call them. And whatever, oh, this is crazy, whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. God trusted Adam so much that he gave the authority, he gave the power to actually name every single living creature and birds of the air, no matter what it is. Even it doesn't make sense, no matter how it sounds, hippopotamus, what? You know, elephant, you know, all this word was named by our dear brother and dear friend, Adam. And can you just imagine that? God could have easily done everything. God could have easily named every living creature as he has created it. But yet, once he created it, he gave it to Adam. Why? It's because he loves to partner together with us. He loves to work together with us. Therefore, when God created the animals, he told Adam, I create, you name it. That is God's idea for partnership. And even for Adam, God didn't just partner with Adam to just name the animals in the field and the birds of the air. God also said to Adam, Adam, I'm going to make you a helper. And therefore Eve came, right? Eve was Adam's helper. And let me tell you something, church. One of the greatest creation of God is women. And all the women of God say, amen. That's right. Until today, guys, men in the house, online, don't argue. You will lose, okay? Women are indeed one of the greatest and best creation of God until today. Why? How do I know that? Let's look at the Word of God. It says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, he who finds a wife, find a? All the women say? Amen. Good thing. He who finds a wife, find a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Man, if you want to find a good thing, find yourself a wife. You know, for all those that are single here, for all those that are already married, God bless you. You already have a good thing. And man, you're not losing out. Just like I say, don't argue, right? Why I say don't argue? Look at the next part. Because you who find a wife, you found not just a good thing, but you also obtain favor from the Lord. And all the men in the house say, amen. Amen. Very low, huh? Amen. So, man and woman, you're not losing out. You know? That is God's idea of partnership. It's always a win-win situation. It's always a win-win situation. No matter you are a man or a woman, God has a plan and a destiny and a purpose for you, my friend. And that is for us to come together with our gifts, with our talents, with our callings, to come and build the house of the Lord together. Even when Jesus sent his disciples out to preach, he sent them in pairs. Go and read Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Don't have to put it on the screen. You can read by yourself. Understand the word of God. Such an important role of preaching the gospel. God sent them in pairs because God treasures when we partner together. God treasures working together. We are all one body of Christ, but members individually. This is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 onwards to 20, he says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, okay, that's really weird. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. We are all different members of the body of Christ. But yet, we are called collectively, together, as one. Everybody say one. One body of Christ. And I just want to bring in a thought for you this morning, a revelation for you. Do you know that Jesus actually didn't ask us to pray for unity? Do you realize that Jesus didn't ask us to pray for unity, but he asked us to pray for oneness? There's a huge difference between unity and oneness. Unity is people coming together with the same agenda, however, they are still different. Oneness means I am part of one particular person, I'm part of one particular vision, I am part of one particular decision, and I'm going to go together with whatever that I am called to do. We function together as one part of the body, as the entire body. So I cannot tell my ear, hey, I don't need you. I can use my eyes to hear. No, it doesn't make sense. Every single function has to work hand in hand together. That is what it means by having one body. That's what it means by coming in oneness. We are all one body of Christ, and we are called to build the kingdom of God together. There are 3 points on how we can build the kingdom of God together. And I promise you, church, even as you give me your attention for the next few minutes, after the 3 points, I will let you go have an awesome breakfast and lunch or brunch, whatever you want, and you will be blessed this morning. Can I hear an amen, please? Amen. Number one, in order for us to build the kingdom of God together, number one, we need to first have a kingdom mindset. In order for us to build the kingdom of God, we need to first have a kingdom mindset. Having a kingdom mindset comes from a transformation of the renewed mind. That is why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." Everybody say transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When your mind is renewed and transformed, the earthly things will no longer be as attractive. The earthly things, the desires of the flesh will slowly fade away. How many of you here were here when Dr. Manoj preached his message last week? Can I see a wave of hand? When Dr. Manoj preached last week, he mentioned about he has a dream car. Remember, he has a dream car. And when he asked the Lord, God said, no. But in his heart, he's like, I'm serving, I'm used by you, you know, I'm doing everything right, you know, my wife say, okay, that should be enough, you know. But God, when I came to you, you said, no. Why, Lord? Why? But more than asking the Lord why, can we come to the place where we, even when we do not know why, we can obey and say, Lord, I'm willing to yield myself to your will. No longer my will be done. No longer your will be done, nor his or her will be done, or our will be done. But God, may your will be done. Even though I do not know why I can't get the dream car, the dream house, or the dream job, but God, I'm willing to yield myself to your will. That is what a renewed and a transformed mind does to you. That is what happens when you have a kingdom mentality. That is what happens when God comes into your life and takes over as your Lord and Savior. Many of us pray this prayer that, God, we want you to be our Savior and Lord and Savior, but oftentimes we only want Him to be our Savior, not our Lord. What does the Lordship of Jesus Christ mean? It means, God, no matter what it takes, no matter what it costs, I am willing to subject myself, to surrender my earthly desires and dreams to see your kingdom come and your will be done. Can I hear an amen, please? That is what happens when we, my friend, have a transformed and a renewed mind. When your mind is renewed, your mind will be filled with godly things rather than just good things. Can I hear an amen, please? Godly things rather than just good things. That is why when we pray, Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." I think this is a very common verse for us. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Why did Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? What happens when you have a transformed and a renewed mind? It will constantly challenge you to invite heaven's reality to become your earthly reality. That is what it means. What does it mean? Your kingdom come, your will be done of earth, on earth as it is in heaven. It simply means, Lord Jesus, we invite your heavenly realm to invade us as you please. We invite your heavenly realm to invade us as you please, just as it is in heaven on earth. That is what it means. We subject ourselves to the will of the Father to see His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We invite the heavenly realm of God to invade us. No longer my will, but His will be done. Therefore, it is so important that we need to understand that we are all in this together to build the kingdom of God together. When you have a renewed and a transformed mind, it helps you to centralize on the principles of the kingdom that magnifies and glorifies God and God alone. Not about what you want, not about what you desire, but it's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about what God wants for your life and what God wants for His people. The way that we see things, we will start seeing in the lens of God. The way we perceive things, we'll start perceiving like God. That is what happens when you have a renewed mind. So what does it look like practically? What does it look like practically as we are living here on earth when we have a renewed and a transformed mind? Are you ready, church? The impossible will become possible. When you have a renewed mind and a transformed mind and you allow His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, you invite the heaven's reality onto earth reality, you will start seeing the impossible become possible. Heaven's reality become our reality, that we start walking in it, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, becomes a normal Christian living. It's no longer a, wow, God, you did this. No, it becomes a norm that every day we will heal the sick. Every day as we go to our workplace, as we go to our school, we will cast out demons and we will raise the dead. Did you realize that Jesus didn't say pray for the sick? Pray for the people that have demonized? Pray for the people that have dead? No, He didn't say pray. He said heal. Why? Heal, cast, and raise. Why? It's because the power of the resurrection King is already living inside of you. You have the authority of Jesus Christ. You have the power of Jesus Christ living inside of you. Therefore, you can expect as you walk on this earth with a renewed and a transformed mind, you can be sure that you're walking into heaven's reality on earth in Jesus' name. That is what happens. The impossible will become possible. Breakthroughs will take place left and right. Signs, wonders, miracles will take place when your mind is yielded to the mind of Christ. That is what happens. Joy and peace will become your portion. Even in challenging times, we can still be joyful. We can still be at peace. Even though the whole world has come crashing down on us with this whole, as we are now living in this post-pandemic, we still can have peace. Why? God is still upon the throne. He is not shaken because of whatever that has happened. And He is in charge and in control of my life and every one of our lives. And therefore, we do not need to be afraid when we have a transformed and a renewed mind. Can you imagine when we all, like-mindedness, come together and build the kingdom of God together? What's going to happen? I believe with all my heart. Calvary City Church in Antioch, right now, there are so many spaces in between you. Let me tell you something. When you come together and build the kingdom of God together, there will be no more room in this place in Antioch for people to come in anymore. Because this place will be flooded. Will be flooded with people. It will be flooded with souls. Because every single one of us chose to yield ourselves to the will of God. And when we do that, I'm telling you, greater harvest, greater revival will take place in the midst of our church, in the midst of you, in the midst of your business, and in the midst of your family. Some of you are still praying after probably many years for the salvation of your family members. I believe the time is coming. I believe that the Lord's name will be so glorified among your family that they will start seeing the wonders and the goodness of our Lord. That they will start coming to church, wanting to hear more about God, wanting to know God as their personal Savior. The time is coming, church, and the time is now. It is not like next month, next year. No, the time is now. The harvest is plenty. The laborers are few. This is the time for revival. This is the time for greater harvest. This is the time that we need to come together to build the kingdom of God together. And all God's people say, are you still here with me, church? Some of you, your eyes are getting heavy. If your eyes are getting heavy, ask the Lord, Lord, take my burdens, Lord. Take my heavy eyes away, Lord, and give me strength to listen to the sermon this morning. Are you good, church? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Power. You will start walking in the reality of heaven. Healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, seeing breakthroughs happening left and right in your workplace, in your family, in your marriages will become a norm. Will become a norm for your Christian living. And when your mind is transformed, let me tell you something, church. Heaven becomes more than a place that you go one day. Some of us, we have this concept that, okay, when I die or when I move on to the next path of my life, I'm going to go to heaven. Let me tell you something. When you have a transformed and a renewed mind, heaven becomes more than just a place that you go one day. When you have a transformed and a renewed mind, heaven becomes the supernatural power that you will start walking in every single day. That is what happens when you have a renewed mind. That is a person that is kingdom-minded. God has designed our mind to be one of the most powerful tools in the entire universe. But our mind has to be sanctified. Our mind has to be yielded towards the Lord so that His will can be done. His desires can take place on earth as it is in heaven. Number two. In order for us to build the kingdom of God together, number two, we need to know who we are. We need to know who we are. And if you do not know who we are, church, can I let you know something? You are His kingdom people. More than just having a kingdom mindset, you need to know your identity as a kingdom people. As followers of Christ, we are not just primarily citizens of Malaysia. We are also the citizens of heaven. So don't just walk as if, oh God, this thing is happening in my life, that thing is happening in my life, and you feel so powerless, you feel so weak, you do not know what to do. Let me tell you something. Start awakening your identity. Start walking in your identity, because when you know your identity, there, the power of the Lord can be released through you, from you, and for you in Jesus' name. When you are a kingdom people, things start looking different for you. That is why, when Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 19, He says, if you were of the world would love its own. The world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Church, you are never called to fit in. You're called to stand out. You're called to be different. Though people may look at you and say, hey, why is this person so weird? It's okay. I'm living for Jesus. I'm not living for you. I'm here to please God, not please man. So therefore, I'm going to live my life according to the will of God so that God can be delighted in me, so that God is pleased with me. And I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what mindset you think about me, because as long as God thinks good things about me, that's more than enough. That's more than enough. That is why it's so important that we have a renewed mindset, a kingdom mindset, and know our identity as kingdom people. And we need to realize that to represent God in this world as kingdom people is actually a high calling. A high calling. Jesus picked you intentionally. Do you know that? Jesus picked every single one of you intentionally, nominated you, my friend, as ambassadors of Christ. What is ambassadors of Christ? You are the literally the brand of Jesus living here on earth. You are the reflection of Christ here on earth. Therefore, it is so important that we need to be a living testimony wherever we go, whatever that we do, especially when we are driving sometimes. We need to be a living testimony. Especially when there's a queue sometimes, there's a jam sometimes. We need to be a living testimony. Somebody cuts you off, make sure no finger goes up, no horn goes up. Come on, church. We are talking about real life right here. You are real, I'm real. And therefore, this is why it's so important that we need to take note of how the way we act, how the way that we talk, how the way that we speak, so that we could be an ambassador of Christ, so that when people look at you, they will look at Jesus inside of you. Can I hear an amen, please? We are chosen to represent Jesus here on earth. We get to partner with Him in proclaiming the good news of Christ. And He has invited us into this wonderful and beautiful journey to build the kingdom of God together. And how do we continue to build this mission of bringing heaven to earth? We do this by living a life that backs up our calling, our identity as kingdom people. Number three, can I have the worship team? Like I promised you, 3 points and I'm done. Number three, in order for us to build the kingdom of God, we need to do the works of the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is not just mere words and saying. That is why it's so important that we don't just be hearers of the word, but we also need to be the doers of the word. Hearing and doing has to go hand in hand. You cannot just hear and not do. You cannot just do and not hear. It has to go hand in hand. When you hear the word of God, you act out practically in your day-to-day life. You hear and you do the word of God. That's why in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Church, you're not just anointed to preach the gospel, but you're also appointed to build the kingdom of God. You're anointed and you're appointed, and now it is the time for us to rise up into the calling, into the created purpose that God has for us on this earth. God is not looking for anointed people. God is looking for available people. God don't need you to have many gifts and many talents to serve Him and build the kingdom of God. You don't need extraordinary gifts to do extraordinary things. By simply coming with your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, by simply coming with your little talents and your little gift, as you serve an extraordinary God, He can make the ordinary extraordinary. He can make the natural supernatural. So I believe this morning, church, the Lord is inviting every single one of us, no matter how we may feel about ourselves, no matter how we feel unqualified, unworthy, and unvalued to serve God. Let me tell you something. God has chosen you. God has handpicked you. God has nominated you, my friend, to build His house together, to build the kingdom of God together, because He's the one that qualifies the call. He calls you worthy, and He is your value. He is your value. With your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, with your little gifts and little talents you have, you can come together. That's why it's so important to come together, so that we can corporately come together, bring our gifts and talents, the little things that we have, into God's hand. And as we see how God multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fishes into thousands and thousands and thousands, I believe today, church, that because of your little talents and the little gifts and your little obedience, it will bring forth great revival. It will bring forth great harvest in Jesus' name. The entire Calvary City Church and the churches of God will be filled with the people. It's because you and I chose to come together to give our little talents and our little gifts and our 5 loaves and 2 fishes and say, God, I am willing. God, I yield myself to you, Lord. Would you take this and multiply? God is looking at the willingness of your heart more than your gifts and your talents. Can we start serving the Lord with our hearts more than just our hands? And I believe this morning, Calvary City Church, just like how he asked Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 9, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Will you be the one that responds, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Can we not be the person that say, here I am, Lord, send that fella. Here I am, Lord, send him, send her. Church, in order to build the kingdom of God, it starts with you. Don't wait for your friend. Don't wait for the person that's sitting on your left, on your right. You are called to build the kingdom of God, and it starts from you. You don't have to wait for anybody. It reminds me of what I shared yesterday as well. You know, there's something called the paisa piece. When we eat our lunch, when we eat our dinner with our friends or with our family members, and there's one meat left or one particular veggie left, nobody will touch. Somehow, nobody will touch. And I don't know whether this is an Asian thing or what, but I call that the paisa piece. But can I encourage you this morning, church? To build the kingdom of God, you don't have to be the paisa piece. You can take the paisa piece and build the kingdom of God, and it starts from you. You don't have to wait for somebody to start. You can start, my friend. You can start. You can create a spark and other people will follow. You are a trailblazer. You are a history maker. That's who you are. Know your identity. Know who you're called by. Know your calling, your call to build the house of the Lord together. Can we stand to our feet? I really believe with my heart, when we are kingdom-minded and when we know our identity as kingdom people and start doing the works of the kingdom, we will be able to be powerful kingdom builders. Can we stretch forth our hands towards heaven right now? I believe that this morning the Lord is speaking to some of us this morning to give our gifts, to give the little talents that we have, no matter what, how much it is or what it is. I believe the Lord is asking some of you this morning, would you answer me? Would you answer me when I say, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Would you just say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Choose me. Send me. And I want to build the kingdom of God together. Come on, every single one of you. Come on, can you just reach out to the Lord? Just reach out to the Lord and answer and respond this morning to the calling that God has called you. He's calling some of you this morning into answering Him to build the kingdom of God together. Would you just respond to Him this morning as a father is asking you, Lord? Jesus.